Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Tonight we look at God's power. Now I know we are all familiar with hearing about God's power. But guys, how many of you have truly experienced God's power? Now if you've gotten saved, you've experienced God's power to some degree. But guys, God's power is real and it's powerful, if I can say. Now you know my testimony, a lot of you guys do. I come from a background where before I came to the Lord, I was pretty much lost in drugs and alcohol. And I don't know what your backgrounds are. All of you have a testimony of what your background is. Hopefully your background's a lot better than mine was. But guys, I learned about God's power before I learned what God's power was scripturally. I learned about it by experience before I knew about it scripturally. And that is because God just grabbed my life and changed it. I was living in Nashville, Tennessee. I was, as I said before, pretty much hooked on drugs and alcohol. And I cried out to the Lord and I said, God, if you're real and if you're gonna, you have the power to set me free, then God, I just ask you to do it because I can't set myself free. A week later, I totaled my truck in a church parking lot, was arrested for DUI, and the adventure began. And it hasn't stopped since then. For the last 14 years of just walking with the Lord, guys, he's shown me his power over and over again. And I want to say tonight, if you're here tonight and you're struggling in an area, something that has always held on to you, God's power is more than sufficient to take care of it, more than able to deal with any situation you've got, whatever it might be. If you've never experienced it, tonight's the night. If you have experienced it, well, then tonight's just the night to re-experience it. And I'm not talking about hype or getting all pumped up or whatever, but you know, all of us guys at times feel very weak. We all feel very defeated and helpless and hopeless. And I don't know where you are, but guys, I know where the Lord is. And I know what his power is. I've experienced his power. And so, I, when people tell me, well, God doesn't just do that. He doesn't just set you free from drugs. He doesn't just set you free from alcohol. My answer to that is, yes, he does. He did me. And you can't fight with somebody who's been there. It's one thing to argue about it theologically. It's another thing to argue with somebody that's lived it. Remember the blind man. And when Jesus touched him and healed him, they brought him before the Sanhedrin, the official Jewish rulers. And they said, well, come on now, what's going on? What gives? How do you have your sight? He said, didn't you hear? He said, I've already told you. Jesus touched me and now I can see. He said, no, tell us really what happened. And I remember when I went to court, it was like a year later after I'd gotten arrested. And I'd known the Lord for about a year now. And so I go to court, I go to the court trial, and, it was the whole thing when I first got caught or whatever, I did the whole thing you would do. I got the lawyer you went over, you're going to plead not guilty. Well, after a year had gone by, I hadn't gone to court. I said, look, we're not pleading not guilty. I mean, I paid the guy's money, but I said, I'm not pleading not guilty. I'm guilty. So just thank you for your services, but God bless, and you're free, basically. And so I got before the judge, and I just said, he said, what are your, do this charge? I said, I'm guilty. I said, I've done it. I'm guilty. And I just threw myself at the mercy of God. I didn't give some explanation to him. And they were very, very lenient on me. They were supposed to take my license for a year. They didn't. They were supposed to do all kinds of things. But I remember when I walked back to the back where they figure out how much kind of rehab you have to go through. And they have these people waiting on you back in the back courtroom. And they say things like this. So, Mr. Kirk, how much do you drink? I said, this is what's so neat. I said, I don't anymore. And you should have seen the look. It was this kind of snide kind of, okay, Mr. Kirk, how much did you used to drink? Well, you really want to know how much I used to drink? It was a lot. How much did you used to drink, Mr. Kirk? And I started telling him, it's like, it sounded terrible because it was. Remember, I was playing in the clubs and I'm not glorifying that. It was horrible. And I'm just telling you the story so you understand God's power and how he's worked in my life. And then when it got to the drug part, well, they said, okay, Mr. Kirk, so how much, says here that you do, you do cocaine. How much cocaine do you do? I said, it's just like the drinking. I don't anymore. See, I've given my life to Jesus and he set me free of all of it. It was like an overnight thing. I started sharing my testimony a million miles a minute. Okay, Mr. Kirk, how much cocaine did you used to do? And so I told him, and they assigned me how many AA classes I had to go to and how many drug rehab classes I had to go to. And what was really neat about it was I had to spend 12 days in jail, and they let me do it on weekends because I had a job, and so I was able to work and still go back into jail. And it was so neat because they let me take my guitar in there, which they're not supposed to do, and we would just have worship times in the rooms and share the Lord with the guys. It was awesome. Matter of fact, it's one of the funniest times I've had, actually. Christmas Eve, we were in there, And we got to do Christmas carols for all the families coming to visiting the inmates. So we're up there doing Christmas carols and kind of sharing the Lord with people as they're coming. Anyway, it's a neat thing. You ought to try it. But it was neat because I knew the Lord and what God had done in my life. That's what was neat about it. But guys, what went even farther than that is when I had to go to these like AA things, they go around the circle and they say this kind of thing. You know, if you check the records in the state of Tennessee, you'll find my name and it'll say alcoholic. Guys, I'm no longer an alcoholic. I was an alcoholic. I'm not now. I don't have to say I'm a recovering alcoholic. I don't have to say that I'm just living day by day, getting by. God healed me. I'm no longer an alcoholic. By His power, by His glory, by His grace. And I got to go to those meetings and all these guys would stand up and say, you know, my name's Joe, you know, and I'm an alcoholic. I stood up and I said, my name's Mark and I used to be an alcoholic, but Jesus Christ set me free. And they had to listen to me. See, it was my turn. I sat there while they all did their thing, and then it came my turn, and I said, guys, don't you realize that His power's real? He can do it. He did it in my life. He'll do it in your life, but you got to believe. You got to give your life to Him. Turn from your sin. He'll give you a brand new start, a brand new life. Yes, you know, the whole thing about the higher power. I said, look, my truck's a higher power. I said, guarantee you right now, if you get out here on the road, put the gas pedal of my truck down, let the clutch out, and let me race it down here to Conoco, it's going to win. I said, my truck will never set me free, and my truck didn't set me free. I said, a higher power is not going to cut it. It's got to be the higher power, Jesus Christ. Well, I had several little sessions, and it was even better. We were talking about it last night when we got to Santa Fe. I moved to Santa Fe before I was done with my classes, and I had to swear that I'd go to the classes and sign all these papers. So I showed up to the classes, and what was really bad, they showed this film on DUI, and I knew the guy in it. I said, that's Larry. And all the guys were like, oh, yeah, you quit drinking, right? You know the guy in the film, you know, like, really, I really did anyway. So that's where it was. Guys, that's what's available to you tonight. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think that God just did that for me? Was I so special that God just said, you know what? Mark's different. He's special. I'm just going to touch his life and set him free from all this. I'm just going to set him free. I don't think, guys, that had anything to do with special. I think it had to do with a person that was completely broken and who knew that without God's help, there's nothing he could do. And he cried out to God with all of his heart. And God set him free. The same thing He will do for you tonight. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know. Maybe you're not struggling with anything as far as some major area. Maybe you've got family or friends that are. But guys, here's the good news that we have that the world can't refute. The world can't say to me that God doesn't do that because God did it and I'm living it. And they can't. It doesn't go. It doesn't fly. When the blind man, they said, well, look, you know, it just doesn't work that way. God didn't really heal you. Tell me what really happened. Blind man said, look, you may not believe it, but here's what happened. I was blind, but now I see. And it's like I told that lady in the courtroom, I said, you may not believe it, but I used to do those things and I don't anymore. God has set me free completely and I'm willing to go through whatever consequences the courts see that I should go through. I have no problem with that. I come under those authorities and this is the consequence I receive, you know, willingly, but God will change your life. And I know that God, in all my radicalness, especially in the early days, I know He still used it as a witness. I know that He did. But guys, what I'm here tonight is not to talk about so much the great things God's done for me, as to let Him know the great things that He can do for you. Now, some of you already have these kind of testimonies. And I don't like necessarily talking about my past that much, because I don't think we should, in a testimony, shouldn't glorify sin. And I hope that I didn't do that when I was sharing that with you. That's not something I'm proud of. It's something I'm ashamed of. And if I could turn the clock back, I would never, ever touch any of it. But the bottom line is, I did, and God, by His grace and mercy, allowed me to go through that to set me free by His power, so I can stand here tonight and say, guys, Jesus Christ can set you free by His power and your friends, and we have a message of hope that the help groups and the AA don't have. And that is, you know what? They'll help you get by day as you struggle in your flesh. Jesus Christ will set you free for your life, and you never have to go back, but you have to make the choice. That's the bottom line. But it just doesn't work that way. It did for me. Well, you're different. Why am I different? I'm made of the same stuff you are. I'm a sinner just like you are. I'm just as weak as you are. It has nothing to do with me, guys. It has to do with the power of God. And that's what we're looking at tonight in Ephesians. Remember, he's talking in the first part of Ephesians, the first three chapters, about what God has done for us and God's power and what's available to us in our lives if we'll just reach out and take it. Now, unfortunately, it took me to be face down and broken before I reach out and take it. Guys, hopefully it won't take that for your friends and family that don't know the Lord. And if you're struggling in an area, I want you to know something tonight. If you're struggling with cigarettes, God has the power to set you free tonight. Do you believe that? No, you don't understand. I've tried for 5-10 years. Listen, I know believers that suffer over that. And they suffer in anguish thinking that they're not going to go to heaven because they smoke. No, the Bible doesn't say you're not going to go to heaven because you smoke. There's nothing like that at all. But we know that obviously there are a lot of Christians struggle and they want to be free. Maybe there's Christians that struggle in other areas, whatever area it might be. The struggles are real and the struggles are there. God's power is here tonight to do it. Maybe, who knows, drinking. Some Christians believe it. They get saved, they fall back into drinking. And they just want to be free of it. They fall back into whatever. Guys, tonight, that's what Ephesians is all about. These last chapters, 19 through 23, is the power that's available. I think first we need to understand it, then we need to apply it. Notice what it says here in verse 19. It says, and what is the exceeding, note that, exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Notice exceeding greatness of his power. Guys, the word exceeding, hupobalo, doesn't mean anything to you other than simply means to go beyond, to surpass or be in excess, over and abundant, in other words, of what you need. Notice what he says in 19, and what is the exceeding, superabundant, overwhelming greatness of his power toward who? Toward the unbeliever? No, toward us who believe. Are you a believer tonight? That's the question. If you're not a believer, tonight's the night to give your heart to the Lord, because he wants you to be a believer and be in his family, and he wants you to show you his power the same way he's done in my life and all of your... Hey, if we had time to share testimonies, we'd hear all kinds of stories like I just shared, because this room's full of a bunch of people that cried out to God, and God delivered them and set them free. But guys, the thing I want you to note about this word is it's toward us who believe. That is the believer. And it's super over and abundant power. Have you ever felt like that? You know, understand, my problem's just too big. God's helped other people. And Mark, I'm glad that worked for you, but I don't believe that power is available for me. Guys, that's not what the word teaches. And not only is it available for you tonight, it is super abundant. I think of these super balls, you know, that you bounce and shoot really high and go way, you know, it's way over what you could ever need or want. That's what God's power is. The question is, are we going to receive that power? Notice the condition. We have to believe. Number one, we have to believe in Jesus. And then number two, guys, you've got to believe he can do it. If you don't believe the Lord can do it, God will not set you free. I take you to the wilderness, the children of Israel. Remember what happened? They were supposed to only be in the wilderness for a couple of years. And they sent spies into the land to see who was in the land and whether or not they could take the land. Well, they didn't have to see if they could take the land. God already said, I will give it to you. So what did they do? They sent spies and they came back and they said, we can't do this. These guys are giants. They are giants. We can't defeat them. They're too big. And remember, Joshua and Caleb said, guys, no, they're not giants. Our God is giant. Remember, the problem is only as big as the problem solver. And the problem solver is a lot bigger than any problem we could have down here. Guys, if he split the Red Sea, he can help us kick a habit. He's a great and mighty God, but we've got to believe him, we've got to ask him, and then we're going to see that it's a responsibility on our part as well. It's God does it, but we have a part that we have to play as well in the midst of it. But guys, they said they were giants. They couldn't defeat the giants, and because they said they couldn't defeat the giants, guess what happened? The giants defeated them. And I see believers today that don't walk in victory because they say, God is too big of a giant. You don't know, I've tried for years, I've tried to do this, I can't do this, it's too big of a giant, I give up. And God says, you know what, it's not a giant to me. David didn't seem to care if it was a giant, did he? David's a little boy with a slingshot and five stones. Interesting, he picked up five stones. We find out later that Goliath had four brothers. David didn't need extras. He just had one for each of the family if they came after him. And yet, the first one hit its target and took him down. It's simply because he believed. And notice that the viewpoint David had was this. Not because I'm determined to do it and I'm going to make it happen. No, it was, you know what? Listen, the God of Israel has given me power over you. And because of that, I'm going to exercise that power. Now, I'm not talking again about hype. I'm talking about belief. Now, notice what it says, though, here. Here's the thing, guys. Number one, toward us who believe. But look, according to the working of his mighty power. Guys, it's his mighty power, not our mighty power. The word is energia. It's where we get the word energy. You ever feel like you don't have any energy? You ever said to the Lord, I just don't have the strength to do it. I'm sorry, I can't. I don't have the power. I don't have the strength. God says, that's okay. You don't have to. I never said you had to have the strength. I never said you had to have the power. All I said is you have to believe that I do, believe in me and trust me to do it, and then cry out to me and I'll do it. Man, he's got the energy. That's what we need is his energy. I don't. It's interesting. The word power here is the word, when he says his power toward us who believe, it's the word dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. It's kind of like God has the dynamite power, the dynamite energy, exceedingly abundantly over what we need. Whatever you need to be healed tonight, he's got way more than you could ever even desire. You can't tap into the amount that you need to be set free. He's got more than enough. It's there for him, or it's there for us. It's the word mighty power means as well powerful and superior for victory. And that is walking the victorious Christian life. Put it this way. We have access to divine dynamite power and eternal energy. Now, would that sell as a power bar or what? You know, put that in one of your little shops up there. You know, do you want the divine dynamite power and eternal energy? You know, get this bar, and then you can charge like $4 or $5 for it like they do and get rich like they're getting rich. You know, I've never gotten more energy from eating those bars. Honestly, has anybody ever gotten energy? You pay $2 for one of those things, and he's like, you know, okay, what's going to happen? You wait, nothing. I mean, sure, it's healthy, but it doesn't. It's $2. Anyway, it's kind of like beef jerky. You got to take out a small loan to get it, but anyway. But guys, the question is, let me ask you this. Now, why does God give us the power? Does God give us the power so we can jump around and scream? It's been said that it's not how high you jump, it's how straight you walk when you land. God's power is given for very, very specific reasons. And I've often heard believers say this, well, I just don't seem to have that power in my life. Let me ask you this. Are you stepping out in faith to serve the Lord? Because if you don't, you won't need that power, so he won't give it to you. If you never drive your car, do you need gasoline? You don't, do you? The only reason you need gasoline is if you're going to drive your car. I believe with all my heart that those that don't seem to have the power to step out for the Lord is because they don't step out first. Sometimes you got to get your feet wet. Once you get your feet wet, the power comes. Remember when they were crossing the Jordan, children of Israel, after 40 years, they made it to the promised land. They're getting ready to cross. And God says, you know, the first time they crossed the Red Sea, he just said, raise your staff and stand still and see what the Lord will do. God split the Red Sea by his power. Now they get to the Jordan River. What happens? He said, have the priests step into the water. Have them step into the water. You see, they had to get their feet wet first this time. They had to take a step of faith that if they started down in the river, that God would be faithful to stop it. And guys, I think a lot of times we hold back in taking that step of faith to step out and serve the Lord in whatever we feel he's called us to do, or to trust him in his power or do whatever. Guys, the reason we do that is because we're afraid to get our feet wet. Get your feet wet. Because after the priests got their feet wet, God stopped the Jordan River and it dried up. And it wasn't just muddy that they walked across. It says it was dry. He not only stopped it, but he supernaturally dried the ground. And that's what God has for us. I mean, he gives us this dynamite energy. But now, why does he give us the power? Number one, to walk victoriously. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says this, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:38, again on victory, says, yet in all these things we are, notice this, more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors, not just getting by. It's interesting to me in Scripture, there's nowhere, guys, that says that the Christian is to learn to cope. It's always to conquer. And yet, how many times do we say or think in our heart, we just got to cope. We just got to somehow get by. But again, the power is available in him to conquer any problem. Pornography? It's surprising how many men struggle, even in the church today, with this area. And some that say, I've tried for years and I just can't. I can think of one right now in my mind from years back. He said, I've tried for many years. I just can't be set free. No, he didn't trust in God's power to set him free. Now, I'm not talking about this whole thing of having enough faith or not having enough faith. I'm simply saying trusting in God's power and asking God to do it. God says he'll give us the power to set ourselves free, or for him to set us free. And we just need to take him at his word. Next also, guys, is to walk in love. Walk victoriously and then to walk in love. That's another reason God gives power. I don't know about you guys, but I can't love people very good without God's power. If I just neglect the Lord and don't walk in the Spirit, I'm not a very loving person. And maybe some of you that know me now think, well, you're not very loving when you do, you know. But I'll tell you, it's really bad without the Lord. And I'm not saying that God doesn't give us that love, but guys, the kind of love that comes from the Lord only comes by the Spirit. I mean, we can love in certain ways, but not true love. As it says in Ephesians 5:2, it says, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Well, what's another reason he gives us power? To resist temptation. We've got to have power to resist temptation. Matthew 26:41, we covered it Sunday. Remember what Jesus said to Peter. He said, Peter, watch and pray. Why? That was to get that power. He said, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. That's the bottom line. We need power. Another reason we need power is to walk worthy. And we're going to get to that later on in Ephesians. We've got to walk worthy of the call. But it only comes by God's power. Guys, I can't walk worthy without God's power. And you guys can't walk worthy without God's power. None of us can. And the problem is when we try in our own strength and by our own energies to walk worthy. Ephesians 4:1 says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And in 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and his glory, his own kingdom and glory. Now, again, how do we do it? By his power. Ephesians 3:20 says this, "Now to him who is able," notice this, "to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." And guys, that's what we have to realize, is that inside us is the power. Here's where we blow it, and I know I've been there. Here's where our struggles is. Here's where mine come in. When I have trouble having God set me free in an area, when I'm crying out saying, "Lord, what's going on? Why is your power? Why can't I seem to get your power to flow in my life?" It's because I'm limiting God by what I can do. And I've got to remember that it's God that lives in us, guys. That's what we've got to remember. And so we ask God by the power that's in us to do this work. Notice what it says in verse 20. It goes on talking about the power that's in us. Notice this power in verse 20. It says, "which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead." Guys, do you realize that inside you tonight is the power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the grave? Now, that's hard to grasp, but realize that right now inside of you, the power that raised him from the dead. Again, we said it Sunday, if he can raise us from the dead, he can get us out of bed. And I speak for myself. Believe me, when I speak passionately about a lot of these subjects, I hope I don't come across like I'm getting on you guys. I'm getting on Mark. And I've seen what Mark has got, what God has done in Mark's life to help him to fight some of these areas where weakness of the flesh comes in. And I said, "God, I need your power." But no, guys, remember, we're going to get to this later. We're talking about God's part right now. We have a part as well. There's the sovereignty of God, and then there's the responsibility of man. If we just sit back and wait for God to do it, it's not going to happen. We have to ask God to do it, and then we have to take wise steps to make it happen. Doing our part, if you will. Well, might as well cover it now. God, on his part, says, "I'll give you the power. It's available. It's inside you. It's living in you right now. But here's what you've got to do. You've got to believe it. You've got to receive it. You've got to ask for it. And then you've got to make wise choices." I remember talking to a guy one time that was struggling with his eyes, and women. It's a common struggle among men. And he said, "But I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed, and it's the same struggle still there." I said, "Well, let me ask you this. Have you turned away from the things that are causing you to think about those things? In other words, have you put the magazines down? Have you stopped watching the movies that have stuff you shouldn't see in them?" And his answer was, "Well, no." I said, "Look, if you continue to do the things that plant the seeds of that and keep drawing you into it more and more and more, you can pray until you're blue in the face. You can fast and pray. You can start fasting and never eat again. If you continue to put those things in that are causing you to have those thoughts and stumble, you're going to continue to stumble and have those thoughts." No, God says, "I'll give you the power to set free, but now your part is to turn away from it and repent. Throw the magazines away. Throw the videos in the trash can. Get rid of the music. Whatever it might be that's causing you to stumble, whatever it might be that's pulling you away, do away with it, and then God has the power that's there." When I say God set me free of these things, guys, he did. But my part was I had to turn away from the things I was doing, and I had to get rid of the things that I had. It works hand in hand. Yes, God's able to do it, but we've got to do our part as well. So the same power that worked in Christ, energy, it says the power that worked in him is the energy again, the energio. It's his energy. It means super abundant, more than we need. The same power that raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Now, it's not just the power, guys, that raised him from the dead. It's the power that took him back up into heaven. Now, think about that. For us to get to heaven, we've got to put these huge tanks on the side of a big white thing called a rocket and blast it up into the sky. And that's in order to get just outside of our atmosphere. Maybe to go to a few planets nearby. Listen, the Lord just kind of floated up and went back up to the kingdom and sat down at the right hand of the Father. That's power. It's power that's over and above and beyond. The thing I'm trying to get across to you tonight is that it's available to you. It's right there. It's inside of you. You don't have to reach out for it. You don't have to beg God for it. It's right there. You just have to believe him and you have to receive it. And God will do it. If you're having trouble believing, pray what that man prayed when Jesus asked him if he believed. And pray what I've prayed before. And that is, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." It's kind of a funny prayer, isn't it? He said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." In other words, I want to believe, but my flesh limits me to believe. Tell God that. He knows it. And he'll give you what you need to believe. He'll make it happen. Now, that's the power that God gives us. But now notice it shifts as we get into verse 21 to talk about the power he has over everything. Not only the power and influence in our life, guys, but Jesus has power over everything. Now, this is where the comfort comes in as the believer. Because that means that not only does he have power to affect our life, he has power to protect and affect the lives around us in the heavenly realm and the earthly realm. And I need that assurance. I need to know that God's there. Look at verse 21. It says, we have to kind of get a run and go here. He said, he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above, if you're an underliner, there's a good one, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Guys, what are principalities, powers, might, and dominion? It speaks of authorities. It speaks of angelic authorities, good and bad, the fallen angels and the holy angels, as well as earthly authorities. Those words encompass all authority in heaven and on earth. And what it's saying is that Jesus is not just above them, he is far above them, way above them. Principality means first in rank or the highest in rank. That would be your top-ranking angels, very possibly your top-ranking officials on the earth. Jesus is higher than that. Powers speaks of inward power and authority. Remember, guys, we talked about the fact that Satan has limited power. He does have power. It is limited, but he does have real power. How do we know that? Well, remember in Luke chapter 4, when he's talking to Jesus in the wilderness, knowing that Jesus was the Son of God, knowing that Jesus was God, knowing Jesus intimately in heaven before he was cast out, he says to Jesus, "Bow down to me and worship me, and I'll give you the earth." You notice Jesus didn't rebuke him for that. Why? Because he had the power to do that. The Bible says that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we turned over the keys to the earth to Satan. We basically gave him dominion. God gave it to us, we gave it to Satan. Because we sinned, that authority, that other authority besides God, the other spiritual realm, took that position. Jesus Christ came and bought it back. But right now, Satan still has that limited authority. 2 Corinthians 4:4 calls him the god of this world. Small g. So he still has that limited authority, that limited power, even though Christ is over all things. But we need to understand that that power is still there. Now, notice what it says here about every other name. It says, or rather every name. It says, far above all these principalities and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Every name, guys. Every name. Why is that important? Well, because there's Buddha, Confucius, Allah, Krishna, you name them. There's lots of names out there. But guys, the Bible says Jesus is above them all. And that's what sets him apart from every other quote unquote religious leader. His name is not just above them, it's far above every name. And not only in this age, it says there, but in also in that which is to come. Now, notice the far above as we talked about it. Interesting, with all the JW stuff that's been happening recently, they claim that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. And it struck me like a ton of bricks as I was reading this. Wait a minute. The name Michael is way below the name Jesus. Because the Bible says here that the name of Jesus is far above every name. So Jesus could not be Michael the Archangel because his name is far above the name of Michael the Archangel. The Mormons, they say that Jesus is Lucifer's brother. He couldn't be his brother because Jesus' name is far above every name and power and principality. So it couldn't be far above if that's his brother. So just the simple teaching of his name being far above pretty much puts out all these different other teachings. Hebrews 1:13 says this, "But to which of the angels has God ever said, or the Father ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits," that is the angels, "sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" What he's saying is the Son is different. His name is far above every name, high above every name. The angels, they're lower, they're servants. As a matter of fact, guys, the angels are your servants. Did you realize that? Listen to what it says there at the end of Hebrews. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" What's your inheritance? Salvation in the kingdom. Did you know the angels are your servants? Now, that doesn't mean you rule over the angels. I'm not saying that. Right now, the Bible says man's a little lower than the angels. However, there's going to be the day in the kingdom we'll be actually above the angels in that echelon. God has put us above them in that transfer of position from this earth to the kingdom. But right now, they minister to us. When you pray and when you're down and when you're needing help, oftentimes the angels, God dispatches angels to come and to build you up and encourage you. Remember Jesus in the garden, the angel came. Remember Jesus in the wilderness, the angel came to strengthen him. The Bible says here in Hebrews, he does the same thing for us. That's kind of neat. You know, the angels come and they strengthen us. Angels don't sit at the right hand. Interesting too about Michael and Lucifer, guys, the Bible tells us that they were created by Jesus. We need to understand in spiritual warfare how much greater Jesus really is. He's not like at equal enemies fighting for who's going to have the dominance. No, he's guys far above. The Bible says he created him. Listen to what John 1:3 says. "All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." And Colossians 1:16, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." So if we understand that he's far above all these spiritual forces that try to pull us down and keep us in bondage in areas in our flesh, guys, that's when we can cry out in faith and know that God will do it by his power. Now notice what it says in 22. It says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things, the church. All things under his feet, not just men and angels, all things. Everything that exists is under the submission of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 says, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And Hebrews 2:8 says, you have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, and he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things under him. Again, why are not all things under him? Remember, the Father said, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. Right now, Satan's not there. Yes, he's there in the sense of been defeated and in subjection, but he still has limited power to roam about. There's going to come a day when that's done. It's going to be a done deal. He'll be under his feet, and the Lord will have everything under him. Now, he says he's the head over the church, which is his body. Man, you guys are his body. Grab that. You're his hands and his feet. Now, that doesn't mean he needs us or has to have us, but he uses us. We're his body. We're a part of him. We're made up of him. It says we're his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He's the sole head of the church, guys. It's supplied by him, it's maintained by him, and it's sustained by him. He controls everything. He holds it together. And believe me, if the church could have been defeated or conquered, it would have been by now. Because Satan has tried numerous times to destroy the church. He's tried numerous times to destroy God's word, and he can't do it. He won't be able to do it, because Jesus said this, the gates of Hades won't prevail against the church. Jesus runs it all. He holds it all together and keeps it all together. Now, notice it says all in all. That's what's called in the language an emphatic repetition. It just means that one time would have been enough, but the writer was trying to stress the point. Everything is wrapped up in Jesus. It's all in him, every bit of it. The fullness is the full measure. He's everything we need, guys. And here's another thing. Jesus is all sufficient. There are those today that will tell you that Jesus isn't quite enough. You need other things. Guys, I'm here to tell you he's all sufficient. Everything you need, every bit of power you need to be set free in whatever area, every bit of fulfillment you need in your heart, whatever it is, he is completely sufficient. And that's what the scripture teaches. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says this, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. And then in 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. In other words, he's all you need. Kind of a simple way of saying it, but that's it. He's all in all. Then why do so many Christians seem to be lacking, Mark? If that's true, then why do I see so many Christians hurting and needing all these extra things? And why is there so much? Okay, I want to believe what you're saying, but I don't see that. Hey, it's not his fault, guys. It's ours. The reason is we're not going to the Lord, taking him at his word and asking him to do it. We're not persevering in prayer. We're not persevering in the word, because that's what God says he'll do. He says, you come to me and I will give you what you need in order to be able to meet any situation that you might have. And also, guys, one of the other things we don't do, notice it says we're his body. Guys, if we're his body, we need to meet together and be together as his body. Now, again, I want to be gentle in this because, again, there's always those that have the mindset that that means that if you ever miss a service, somehow you're sinning. No, it doesn't mean that at all. But what it does mean that we should have a regular lifestyle of fellowship. If we're not in fellowship on a weekly basis, not monthly, not tri-monthly, not every 6 months, not yearly, at Christmas and Easter, if we're not in fellowship on a weekly basis, guys, we are going to be weekly Christians, just spelled a different way. Because that's part of God's plan. That's part of his process to strengthen us and make us strong. If your hands decided just to kind of, let's say they could leave your body, and they just kind of just crawl off one day, and they say, you know, we'll see you, you know, in a couple of weeks, we're kind of busy, and we'll see you again in a month, you know, what would you do? Be like, this is nuts. Now, you could still get around and you could drink things and do this kind of stuff, but look how that would weaken your effectiveness. Look how that would hold you back as a body. Guys, we're the body of Christ. And there are those today that say, well, you know, I don't need church and I don't need to be in fellowship because the Bible doesn't say you have to be in fellowship to be saved. The Bible doesn't say you have to be in fellowship to be saved. You don't have to. But the Bible does say that if you're not in fellowship on a regular basis, that it's sin. Paul said this in the command form, in the language, he said, forsake not the assembling of the brethren together. It's not a divine suggestion. Why? Because God wants to try to force us to go do something that we don't want to do? No, because God knows we need it. Guys, it's part of God's plan to make us do it. Do you need power to change and overcome? Guys, there's an overabundance available. It's there for you. How do you get it? Well, first of all, you got to know Him. And if you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord, and you've struggled in some areas, well, it's no wonder you don't have the power to be set free because you've never known Him. You've got to come to know Him first. Secondly, you've got to believe Him. He said He'll do it. Take Him at His word. Next, you've got to ask Him. It's simple, just saying, Lord, I want You to do it. I need You to do it. And to continue to ask. Jesus said this, knock, seek, and ask. But it's interesting in the term or the language there, it gives a picture of continuing to knock, continuing to seek, continuing to ask. It doesn't mean just one time. It means on a regular basis, over and over and over. And not because God wants us to grovel, simply because God wants to spend time with us. And He wants us to learn to pray. So we've got to know Him, we've got to believe Him, we've got to ask Him. And guys, here's where our part comes in. We have to make wise choices. If I say, Lord, set me free of eating donuts. I'm always eating chocolate donuts. Lord, set me free of eating. Not sinful to eat chocolate donuts. I just don't need all those chocolate donuts. Lord, set me free of chocolate donuts. It's probably not the best thing for me to go hang out at Krispy Kreme. I'm not eating the donuts. I'm just looking at them. That's a nice looking donut. It's only going to be a while, guys, until I give in and grab a donut. So what's the sovereignty of God? God says, I'll set you free of the chocolate donut. But what's my part, Lord? Your part is don't go to Krispy Kreme anymore. Stay away from it. So many people I see struggling in certain areas, and I say, well, what's going on in your life? The area they're struggling in, they're involved in something on a regular basis that has that area in there. So our part is we've got to not do it. The sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. Want to be complete in Him, all sufficient? We've got to ask Him and ask Him for His power to do it. And guys, you know, it's so simple. Sometimes people ask me and they say, well, you know, they come to me and they've got some situation they're dealing with. And oftentimes they'll say, you know, Mark, what do I do about this? And how do I get set free in this area? And some of them have been back to me multiple times. And I bet they're tired of hearing me say it because the answer is so simple and it's so profound. You remember when Naaman came to see the prophet and he had leprosy and he goes to see the prophet and he's expecting the prophet to come out and do this big ceremony. You know, and he says, I'm here, I've got leprosy, and I've come to see this prophet who's supposed to heal me. And he sends his servant out. Elijah sends his servant out. He says, look, you go out and tell him to go down and dip in the Jordan 7 times. Just dip in the Jordan 7 times. When you come up, you'll be set free. You'll be clean. The guy got furious. He said, I was expecting him to come out and do some kind of, you know, some big ceremony, you know, and boom or something, and I'd be healed. He said, go down and wash. He said, the rivers in Damascus are nicer than this. Why would I go down there to the stinky, dirty Jordan when we got better rivers back home? I'm getting out of here. Come on, guys. And they saddled up and left. He left in a rage, but he left in his leprosy. Remember what leprosy is in Scripture. It's a type of sin. So he drives off, and his servant says, you know what, sir? He says, yeah, what? He says, now, if he had come out and done some kind of hula-bula-bula, he said, you would have done whatever he told you, wouldn't you? He said, well, yeah. He said, well, all he did was ask you to go down and wash in the Jordan. He said, why don't you just try it? Just very simply, go and wash and see what happens. And the guy talked him into it. He went down in the Jordan and dipped 7 times and washed in the Jordan. And the Bible says he came up clean as baby skin. You know how baby skin is? Soft and clean and just... he was healed of his leprosy. And guys, what a beautiful picture that is of really what God does for us today as the believer. I see so many people that have an area of sin on them they just can't get away from. And they go to somebody for counsel and they give them a very simple plan. They say, here's what you need to do. Every day you need to read the Bible. Every day you need to pray. You need to wash in the water of the Word. The number 7 in Scripture, by the way, means is the number of completion. And he told him to dip complete times. In other words, stay in the Word and stay in prayer until God gives you the victory. That's your answer. Continue to dip in the Jordan and get washed off in the Word, in prayer, and the third element, in fellowship. Those 3 elements, that's how you walk in victory in Christ. There's no hidden secret. There's no special prayer. The prayer of Jabez is nice, but that's not what it's all about. I'm not saying there's anything wrong in the prayer of Jabez. It's a nice prayer. It's a great prayer. But guys, the prayer of Jabez alone is not going to set you free. It's going to be daily time in the Word, daily time in prayer, and weekly time, E-E-K-L-Y, not E-A-K-L-Y, weekly time in fellowship, and you're going to be set free. It's that simple. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for tonight. Now, God, I just pray, Lord, that I have properly presented your heart tonight. God, you've told us in your word and you've shown us, God, that you have power available, Lord. And Lord, it's not just something written down on paper, and it's not just something that's novel, and it's not just something that sounds spiritual. But God, I've seen your power. I've experienced it in my life in great ways. And God, many of the believers in here have seen your power in their lives in great ways. And God, maybe some of the believers in here need to experience your power tonight in great ways. And I ask, Lord God, that you would do it. I ask that you would, Lord, meet them here tonight as they get their feet wet, as they take a step of faith, just to see what you'll do. And God, to take you at your word. And as we pray, God, move among us, Lord. Show yourself great. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory. We thank you, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' mighty name.